one game this week, the 0-0 at Tranmere. Adam Turner describes it as a decent performance and a decent point. The one shot on target in the game makes it no more, no less. Joe describes it as one for the purists. We were missing that final pass, but win at home, draw away. Callum agrees about the final pass after some promising spells, but is delighted to see some squad depth back. Chris Mason said it was a solid performance, but with a lack of quality in the final third. Darren Stevens, in a similar vein, a good point on the road, full of fight and determination. Pete Robinson thought crew sides of old would have lost that, a point gained. Ian Perry thinks we may have been spoilt for goals this season, so the odd blip is to be expected. Clean sheet is always positive. Paul Gregory says his defensive glass is pretty much full, but the attacking glass is a little empty. Still, we don't often get results at Tranmere. Pete is also happy with a great point, but we need to grab that automatic place. It seems within touching distance every week. Neil Hulse wants us to capitalise on our first half superiority. Would have taken a point before the game, but now it feels like two lost. Rory thought we stopped passing forward after 20 minutes. Zero cohesion, just pumping balls forward. Let's just forget this one happened. Callum Sesford, however, thought nothing really happened, and he couldn't remember a shot from either team. James wants us beating teams like this if we want to go up, but does concede that the referee ruined the game for him. Jay Hodson agrees with the Tranmere commentators. We didn't look like a team in fifth and didn't do enough to warrant the win. One player picked out by Rob Murray was Ed Turns, who felt he was impressive in his first start, adding, we looked solid and worked hard across the pitch. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. We have just got the one game this week, the draw at Tranmere Rovers. To go through that game, our panel today is Tim Robinson. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Stu. Hi, guys.
Trevor Griffiths. Hello, Trev.
Hello, everyone.
And Graham Miles. Hello, Graham.
Hi, everyone.
All right. We'll start this week, similar to last week. Last week, we got to talk about Conor O'Riordan and his move to Blackburn. This week, I think we should talk about our two deadline day signings, Ed Turns and Charlie Kirk. Trevor, how excited were you by these two signings?
They were very good signings. One lad who played last year in the promotion side at Orient for the back end, and Charlie Kirk, well, you know, his career has dipped a little bit, but I'm sure he'll come good.
Really impressed with his Ed Turns signing. Leighton Orient fans said how well he played last season and the start of this season. So that was a very good signing. Charlie Kirk, yeah, somebody like him, somebody a bit different than we've got, and add to squad numbers. So, yeah, good idea.
Tim, I'll come to you. I did some questions for a Tranmere fan this week that they put on their website, and they said, you know, it looks like it's quite a quiet transfer window, just a couple of loans in. And I said, yeah, I think echoing what Mark said last week on the podcast, that we are probably weaker end in January than we were starting with Conor O'Riordan and Joe White. Do you think this has gone some way to redress that balance now?
Absolutely, yeah. I think from what we've seen of both Osterfield and Lee, I think they're capable of holding their own and filling the gap for Joe White. Remember, we've still got Tabernet to come back as well. So I don't really see any weaknesses in midfield now. And I think, as the boys have said, the two deadline day signings are excellent. Ed Turns, I think Richie Wellens, from the interview he gave yesterday, is extremely disappointed not to have got Ed Turns back. And they're flying high in League One. So he looks like a very, very good signing. And I'm pleased he's right-footed as well. I think that's what we needed. To, obviously, we've got Mickey in the kind of left centre-back role. Zach also to potentially play in that position. So I think we needed someone for the right. And yeah, I was really pleased to see that one come in. And then I think with Charlie Kirk, left wing isn't an obvious issue with this team. We've obviously got Chris Long, who's going to start most of the games and deserves to. But you're right. I think Charlie Kirk is something a bit different. I'm not really expecting big things to start with because I don't think he's played a lot of football. He certainly obviously hasn't during the window because he's been released by Charlton. But I think he's given everyone a lift. We took over 1,000 to Tranmere on Saturday, and it was a really good atmosphere in the away end. And I think a lot of that was not just because it was a close game to go to, and you know we're doing pretty well. I think there were a few who probably made a late decision because we'd signed Kirky. So yeah, I think it's a really positive window.
Graham, from my perspective as a fan, it felt to me that Turns was what we needed. Kirk was the little treat that we got at the end of the window because he was available. But I think, looking at it, I think Turns is possibly going to play more of an important part because he is going to be expected to play most minutes of most games now for the rest of the season.
Yes, Turns is exactly what we needed. I can't imagine him not starting every game now when he only agreed to come on Thursday, or problems with Leighton Orient, however that panned out, to come on Thursday and then slot into the team on Saturday with possibly one light training session. That shows what we were looking for, and he is the ideal replacement for Connor.
And then, Trev, last question before I move on to the actual game at Tranmere. If we weren't fifth in the league, if we weren't, you know, having a really good season, do you think the board would have backed Lee Bell and given us the money for Charlie Kirk, even though it is on a short-term deal? Or is this a recognition of the job that he's done and a, go on then, go and get us promoted?
Yeah, I'd say the latter. Yeah, if we were mid-table, you know, might have a chance. I don't think they'd have gone that way, but we're in, you only get the one chance, don't you? And the board have said, yeah, we'll back you, Lee. Away you go. And I think it's a great move, as Tim was alluding to. I'm sure there was people there who only went yesterday because we'd signed Charlie Kirk. And I would say that he is the icing on the cake because he, whatever we think of him, he makes goals and scores goals. You know, he might have not have done it consistently for Charlton for whatever reason, but at League Two level, he should be well capable.
Yeah, it was an excuse to watch all of those Charlie Kirk goals and assists from his first time round. I still think the best thing he did, I know that people will disagree, is when he received the ball, did the three or four kick-ups and then threaded it between two defenders to set Pixie up for that goal. I can't remember who it was against now, but it was in the League One season. The good League One season, I should add. right, let's go on to the game then. Tranmere away. One change. Luke Offord comes back into midfield, replacing Osterfield with Turns coming in. Tim, were you happy with that? Happy to see Luke Offord back in that midfield role?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Turns was going to come in, which meant that Offord could go back into that Kante role that he's performed brilliantly at for the last few games. And it was no surprise, really, once I saw the way we set up, that we were much more solid than we were against Salford. I mean, admittedly, Tranmere didn't have a big 6'6" beanpole striker to cross it to. But yeah, I just thought they didn't really look like scoring. I think it helped that I think we kept Rio at home. I've not seen the heat map for him, but I dare say that's probably the less forward he's got all season from that left-back role. He basically played as a sort of defensive fullback. Because obviously their danger man was Harry Apter on the right, and I thought he did a great job, kept him quiet. I barely noticed him all game. I like the look of the team, and you know, we probably weren't as attacking as we have been in some games, but there was obviously a reason for that. And it was a solid performance. It was just whether or not we could nick one.
Graham, from where I was sat, and you guys were all in the stadium, and I wasn't. It looked quite windy on Birkenhead on Saturday with the ball sticking up in the air. It also looked like Tranmere were up for a scrap. And I think they probably expected crew from experience to sort of roll over, but that's not really what this crew team's all about, is it?
No, with having Luke Offord in midfield, we looked very solid. Other than the chance for Brad Walker long distance at the end, they didn't really create anything. So we looked very solid. Yeah, conditions weren't great, but we've played in a lot worse this year. Barrow away, for example. So, yeah, it wasn't, you can't blame the conditions. I think we fell a bit into how Tranmere wanted to play, but we did look very solid.
I think we were set up for an away performance. You know, solid back midfield, maybe nick one going forward. Everything you'd want from a team who were playing away from home. We looked like a side that were there not to get beat.
Yeah, just to stick with you there, Trev, then. I think you're probably right. I think we went there with the intention of not being beaten. But I do think we started off better. I think if we were to look at the possession stats after 10, 15 minutes, I think we'd be quite high in how much we'd control the ball. But they were quite well set up, and I don't really think we created much going forward. You know, the forward players, there was not too much link play between them, I didn't think.
No, Aaron Rowe in the 10 role, he tends to be static and only comes alive when the ball comes to his feet. He's not making runs off the ball, ready to receive it. He stands still. Maybe that he's told to do that. I have no idea. But he only comes alive when he actually gets the ball. So by that time, he's always got somebody marking him. So whether he's the ideal one for the 10, I'm not convinced. I'd like to see maybe Olacek giving a go. And even Charlie Kirk could, you know, do that role. I think he played quite a lot down the middle for Charlton. So, yeah, I think it's just that little tweak that we need. Somebody who's making the runs around Elliot Knevitt. Because I thought he was bullied out of the game a little bit yesterday, Nev. They had two big lads marking him, made it very difficult. So he needed somebody else who was going to get on the ball. Shiloh was getting better as the game progressed. Well, from what he was a month ago. And I thought Long's second half was a threat. So, yeah, it's the 10 role that we just need to sort for me.
Can I just ask you a question there, Trev? Because I didn't think Shiloh Tracy had a good game yesterday. I thought he had the ball a lot, but every time he got it, he either lost it or he went backwards to Billington. Just didn't see him ever try and take anyone on. I think his first half, what summed it up was when he went back, he did really well. He won the ball and then he passed it to a Tranmere player. And I thought that just essentially sums up the sort of game you're having. I don't know. I want to see more from him.
Yeah, and I agree. What he was a month ago is an improvement. He's not at his best. But every time he got the ball, there was nobody in the penalty area. No, there was Knevitt and two big centre-halves most of the time. So his options were limited where he was going to play the ball. When you see it on like the full picture, I'm thinking, where's the midfield player busting his gut to get in the box? Well, Offord's not going to do it. Thomas is not going to do it. And Rowe, like I said, he's alive when he gets the ball. So I think his options were a little limited.
Graham, is this the problem with why we didn't really look like scoring yesterday? The midfield three that we've got, Offord, Thomas and Aaron Rowe playing in an unfamiliar position, is that the problem?
Yes, the lack of creativity in there. I do believe, though, when Joel Taberner is back fit, which hopefully is in the next 2 weeks, he'll come into that 10 role and we will look a different team altogether with him in there. Yes, I agree with Trev. If it's not going to be him, I would give Holacek a go. It doesn't look like it suits Aaron Rowe, that number 10 role. Yeah, he doesn't come alive till the ball comes to him. One thing I would say about Shiloh, though, he's not playing well at the moment. But I thought his defensive duties yesterday, he actually tracked back a lot more than he has been. He was a bit more responsible in that role, which if you have a Charlie Kirk in there, I don't believe he would do, or a Long there. So that does help us become more solid having him playing there to me.
I think you've got to give the opposition a little bit of credit. I mean, I listened to Nigel Adkins' interview and he said their game plan was to not deny us space behind them and, you know, to deny us space on the ball and in the attacking third. And I think they did a pretty good job of that. I actually thought it was quite an enjoyable game. Not from the perspective necessarily of loads of goal mouth action and, you know, it being 4-3 and saves and it. But I just thought it was two very well set up teams that knew their roles, butting heads, and it was an interesting watch. It was a bit like, you know, you'd liken it to like a low scoring test match or something. It was like, you know, which one of them were going to sort of bend first and make a mistake. And it was an extraordinarily tense game for one with relatively little action in the goal mouths. I just thought their game plan worked quite well. They did deny our creative players space. Personally, I like having Offord and Thomas in the middle of the park. I think Thomas is adapting to a sort of more all-round midfield role rather than a defensive role. He does get forward, and I think he's always the first midfielder to press as well, which I really like. I do agree with the lads that Rowe probably isn't really a 10. And I know we've tried to do this with Tracy, and now we're trying it with Rowe just to see if we can kind of use their technical abilities and movement and sort of adapt them into a 10 where they can cause more damage. But I do think, yeah, Tabernier or if White had come back would have been the ideal one to play in the 10 with those other two midfielders.
Yeah, Graham, if I was to rate every player, and this goes back to a point you said about Tracy, if I was to rate every player on attacking and defensive work yesterday, I don't think anybody would have got below 8 out of 10 for their defensive work. But then if we were to switch it around and sort of play this easy game of statistics and say, okay, attacking wise, I'm not sure anyone would have got over a 6 out of 10. Is that me being too harsh or is that about right?
No, I would agree with that, but it's how Tranmere set up as well. That didn't make it easy to create space as well. And having Neville up front on his own, realistically, he didn't hold the ball up well, but he got bullied out of it by the two centre-backs. So nothing was sticking, really. And we seemed to run out of ideas. We didn't, other than the one chance for Long, which he should really have scored, which we would have had a different view on the game if he'd scored that goal, then we didn't create a great deal. But would I have taken a point before I went at Tranmere? Yes, I would. So it's just a lack of creativity, which was shown in the last few games, I believe.
I agree with Graham there. If Long scores that, and let's be fair, it is a really good save by McGee. He dives to his right, but manages to get a big left paw up and get it and save it. But if he scores that, we go 1-0 up at that stage, then we probably end up running out 1-0, 2-0 winners. And we're coming away from that thinking it's another fantastic away performance and away result, just like Mansfield, just like Barrow. So it's pretty fine margins, really. Don't forget, CBR had a very good chance as well at the end when he ran onto their loose back pass and the keeper sort of came out and it was a 50-50 and the ball spun in the air. And I think if he'd have just put his nut on that as it came down, he might well have scored that as well.
Yeah, Tim, I'm going to get onto that chance in the second half. But before we get to halftime and move on to the second half, there's one person we probably should mention because he didn't make it out for the second half. He got clattered by Mickey in the first half, and then right at the end, he got clattered again to stop a very good Tranmere chance. Tom Booth, the way he went off, and again, you guys were all there, so you probably saw it a bit better than me. It looks like he might be out for a little while. It looks like, you know, like bone or some sort of damage. He's not done his chances of becoming Crewe's long-term starting goalie any harm, though, with this recent spell, has he, Tom Booth?
Yeah, he's done well, and he probably would have carried on the rest of the season. Hopefully, it's not too bad an injury, but as Lee Bell said after the game, he's gone to hospital. So if you go to hospital, you don't, you know, there's something there that's a worry to the doctors. Mm. Yeah, he did fine. It was weird, that one, because the referee gave a bounce up when we actually had got the ball, and he gave it to Tranmere, and that's how they got the chance, and that's why Booth got injured. These are the quirks in football. But yeah, I think Tom's would have stayed in goal. I couldn't see any reason for dropping him. But it's ironic, isn't it? We're talking about goalkeepers for weeks, saying we need another one. And then once the window closes, one of them gets injured. So that's the way it goes.
I want to give a bit of praise to Tom Booth for the save that he got injured in. That was a really, really brave effort. He was really quick off his line when it looked like their guy was going to be clean through, and he chucked himself at the guy's feet and he got clattered. And you could tell he was hurt, but he was back up and he actually did it again. He dived at the guy's feet again. You know, you've got to give him so much credit for that. That is real bravery, putting your body on the line for the team. And also, I thought Harvey Davis looked solid when he came on, which is nice to see because he has had a few problems before he lost his place. And it, you know, he may well be in the team for a while now if Tom Booth has hurt himself. So, he came out and claimed a couple of balls and punched a couple. So, fingers crossed he can. He can remain solid if he's in for the next few weeks.
To me, I think he's injured his ribs. I think it wasn't the latter challenges. I believe it was the first challenge where a lad clattered him that did it. The others might have added to it, but I believe it's a rib injury. And if you're looking at rib injuries, you're talking minimum being out for 4 weeks, can be out for 8 weeks. But now, so it looks like we are going to have Harvey Davis in goal now. So we should all get behind him. None of the negativity that we had when he was just before he came out of the team. We, as soon as he came on at half time, our group applauded him, got behind him, sung his name. That's what we need to do going forward. Because I believe Tom Booth would have been the keeper for the rest of the season. But he's going to be out for a number of weeks now, so we've got to get behind Harvey.
Yeah, you could sort of hear and see that. The support for Harvey Davis as the second half kicked off. But again, you three would have missed this being in the stand. I can't imagine you had your wireless radio on. So some classic Radio Stoke commentary with Graham McGarry thinking that he was off air and saying, well, we'll have to sign Kieran Westwood this week, which was caught by everybody listening in. So I think Harvey Davis will be the goalkeeper for the next game. But, you know, we might have someone new on the bench come Saturday and Crawley when they come to town. Right, second half then. Let's go straight to the end because the game, sort of not a lot happens throughout. You know, there's one shot on target all the way through the game. It is, as Tim said, you know, a very attritional, possibly enjoyable, I'm not sure, game. But watching at home, I was convinced Brad Walker had scored.
We were as well.
The one thing to say about that, I mean, it didn't actually look that close from the angle that I was at, but I think we might have benefited from a momentary drop in the wind because there was a shot curling the other way that looked like it was going close and the wind took it miles off target. And that Walker one, if the wind had been strong at that point, it would have blown it right back towards the corner. So we might have got away with one a little bit there.
Yeah. A certain Mr. Birtles had a sharp intake of breath behind me when that shot. Brad Walker went in. I said, don't worry about it, Matt.
Well, we were stood quite close to the back, directly behind the goal, and we thought it was in.
I think Harvey Davis could have saved it.
He could well have done, yeah.
Yeah.
I think pessimistic crew fans. Yeah.
you're all far more optimistic than me. I watched it and Harvey Davis stood rooted and I was convinced it would hit the post and it was going in. But, you know, we survived. Just before that, though, and Tim's already talked about it, I thought the best chance that crew had in that game was Courtney Baker-Richardson sort of getting almost on the end of a bad back pass. I don't know. I don't want to be too harsh on players and single that, but for me, Trevor, I think he has to do better with that, either the first or the second option.
Yeah. Well, there was a big spin on the ball, which I think was the crucial bit. As he went up in the air, I think and the wind and the spin, I think he was caught in two minds. Do I head it or do I wait to come down and volley it? And I think he just got caught in between two minds. And he saw Long in the corner of his eye. I think if Long hadn't been there and he thought he was the only one, I think he'd have scored. But it was a good back pass by there, lad. Maybe if Courtney was a yard quicker, he'd have got there and been able to go around the keeper. Yeah, mitigating circumstances. But yeah, it was a real big chance.
Yeah, as Trev says, that it was swirling around all over the place as it was coming down. It was a tough one. That if he had got his head in it, he'd have scored. But you know, it's easier said than done in that sort of wind when the ball's spinning like it was.
For me, what Trevor said was exactly what I was going to say about Long. I think if he wasn't there, Courtney Stores, he seemed to just, the ball was spinning everywhere. We just seemed to look at Long, and I believe he would have been more committed to going for it if Long hadn't been there.
Whilst I agree with that, you know, it was a tricky one. It was swirling and all of that. The bit before that, I think if he's just more committed and more unselfish, I think he can stretch and get that ball across to Long whilst the goalkeeper's coming out to him in the first phase. I don't know whether that's just me being, you know, expert in hindsight or what, but that to me would have been what I would have been looking to do. But again, I'm not Courtney Baker Richardson. He's a professional footballer.
I don't think he could have done, to be honest. He was at full strength and he properly like lunged in to get to win the ball in that 50-50. I don't think he had much chance of doing anything else.
I thought he did well to win the ball. I thought he was second to it and just nicked it.
Fair enough. It is easier for me watching on TV than playing on the pitch. I accept that. Right. I saw a lot of people from the Tranmere side saying that they'd played well. They'd shaded it. They possibly deserve the win. Trevor, they had zero shots on target the entire game. So if they feel they played well, possibly shaded it, does that suggest that we're really good at defence? Is that, or have I read that wrong?
I think they're overestimating their performance. I just thought we were very professional. I thought we can go back to what we were starting saying at the beginning. We were solid. We went with a determination not to concede, maybe nick one on the break, which we could have well have done. Long could have easily scored. It was a better save than I thought it was. McGee had come out a lot closer to Long than I thought. And yeah, if that's their level of performance and they thought they played well, I think we've got a good chance. If we can, the last 7 or 8 games away from home, if we play like that, I think we'll be right in the mix.
All right, then. And my final question before we finish with Tranmere, then. We talked about him at the start of the episode, the return of CK30, as I believe he's now going to be called. Who had money on his first touchback in a crew shirt to be a clearing header? I can't imagine that's what he was dreaming about on Friday night.
Oh, I didn't.
No.
Only 4 minutes, Tim. He didn't really get a lot of chance to shine. And to be honest with you, crew were mostly defending for those 4 minutes. So more to come from Charlie, I'm sure.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think he's played a huge amount of football. I don't really think the plan would have been to have given him much at all there against Tranmere. I think it'll be to get him in training for a couple of weeks and gradually build up his minutes. You know, you kind of think maybe by the end of February he'll be in full swing, but until then I think it'll be bit parts and cameos. I think he had one nice pass, one nice crossfield pass, which was good to see. But yeah, I think it's a nice boost for the fans more than anything for now, and then hopefully he can contribute in a meaningful way towards the end of the season.
I thought it was a brave substitution in the sense that he put Olacek at right wing back, which I thought was quite brave, to be honest. And like I say, it was a lovely pass from him when he got the ball, but it left us a little bit open down that side in the last couple of minutes. But yeah, he's got the pass, the technical ability is what we probably need. That's the creativity that we have lacked. But fingers crossed, he plays in the under-21s tomorrow and keeps going.
I think they'll make a good pair down that side, Rio and Charlie. I believe it'll be, after Charlie's got match fit, which will take a few weeks, I believe it'll be close to the Pickering-Kirk side that we had, where Rio can overlap like Harry Pickering did, and they can work well together. My only problem is having Long and Kirk in the same team. You don't want two players waving their arms around when they don't get a ball passed to them, which you would have. But I believe down that left side, Rio and Charlie will work very well together.
I just think it's probably worth mentioning the fans again, like 1,050 on a miserable day. Really good attendance, great support for the team. Lee Bell referenced it in his interview, and he sort of said, like, I wasn't sure what the reaction would be at the final whistle when we had drawn 0-0, and but it was overwhelmingly positive. I think everyone appreciated that the team had put a real shift in, and that it was a point gained, and they clapped and sang and cheered the boys off, even though we hadn't won. And that's what you want from your travelling support. So yeah, really good away day, despite the lack of goals.
Yeah, you know, I think it's worth mentioning as well. That's going to be two in a row, because obviously the next away game is Stockport a week on Tuesday. I think we're close to, if not sold out, our allocation there. The pretty miserly allocation Stockport have given us, but you know, that's their business, not ours. So yeah, I've said it all season. I think the away attendances have been phenomenal this year, and it is easier going when you're winning, but still you do have to pay the money. You have to put the hours into traveling. So yeah, anyone that is going every week or most weeks that they can, fair play to you. Okay, that will do us then for the Tranmere game. Next, we'll turn our attention to the Crawley game. But first, we'll look at the women's team who were away at Blackburn on Sunday.
Matt, away at Blackburn, another 1-0 loss. Sum up that one for us.
Disappointed and proud at the same time. I think first half we didn't start the game as well as we know we can. The weather was a massive factor for both teams, and the way we've lost the game is unacceptable, and it's not our fault. It's difficult one to take. It hurts. We've done enough to get something out of the game whilst not being at our best. So yeah, just a little bit deflated at the moment. The girls are deflated, and it's our job just to dust them off, pick them up and go again, because I feel like we've not got what we've deserved these last 2 weeks.
As you said, it was a nasty way to lose the game, but looking at it, we've limited them to next to no chances other than the penalty. Is that something you're proud of? Is that, you know, shows the strength, because they're second in the league, and you know, we've got a solid team.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the defence in the changing rooms afterwards. I think that's been a massive part the last two games. We've limited West Didsbury and Chorlton to one chance, and they took that. I don't agree with the penalty that was awarded today, which I'm not going to, am I? But I certainly don't agree with the fact that, you know, the girls put it out of the ground and he's ordered a retake, and he couldn't wait to give that retake. He couldn't wait to order that retake. So really, Hannah made one save in the game, I think. So yeah, defensively, we've limited them to nothing. We've done really well. But again, like last week, you know, teams take the chances. They're going to get points. If they don't, we don't. We didn't have a host of chances there. It certainly wasn't like last week, but we were adding some real pressure at the end. And I feel like when we got that one chance we were always going to get, we needed to take it, and we didn't. We hit it straight at the keeper. So frustration, disappointment. But again, we're playing second in the league, and I don't know. I don't think many people watching that would disagree the fact that, you know, there's no way we're not as good as them. You know what I mean? We're in my opinion, better, but you know, that's a biased opinion, isn't it?
And again, it's another case of, you know, similar to last week. We've dominated the second half and kept going and going, and the chance, the goal just wouldn't come. Is it just a case of keep on going, keep doing what we're doing, trust the process, and it'll start coming?
Well, we hope so. You know, we know we've got it right because we're playing good football, and we're creating chances. Obviously, not loads and loads today, but we're playing against second in the league, who've got a really good defence, and they've got the wind in there. I certainly didn't see at half time that we were potentially going to be bogged in their half, last 10 minutes, and pushing, and then putting men behind the players, behind the ball, dropping deeper. I didn't see that coming. So that's testament to what we were doing. There's a lack of confidence in the team and players not sticking to the game plan. I don't think they're doing it intentionally, but obviously when you're low on confidence, we're asking them to do things that are proactive and driving at opponents and coming inside, and we're still going around the outside and running out of space. So there is a confidence element to it, but yeah, we definitely got to trust the process and just keep going, because we believe in the players. We know the top players, and unfortunately we're not just getting what we deserve at the moment.
Yeah, we keep pushing. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, mate.
Right, Tim, just the one game this week. Saturday, home game against Crawley. They're mid-table. They lost on Saturday, and by all accounts, it sounds like they're in a bit of a mess off the field at the moment.
Yeah, I think they've lost three on the spin after making a bit of a run, looking like they were potentially going to threaten the playoffs, but that seems to have stalled a little bit. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, have we already played them this season?
Yeah, yeah. We won 4-2 at their place. We were, I believe it was 2-1 yes. down. And we
That's
really
right.
came back, yeah.
That's right. So yeah, I mean, you'd expect us to be strong favourites, especially given, you know, their recent run of results. And I think as a club, there's a lot of rumours about the owners pulling the plug or you know not having the funding to continue to support the team. There were rumours doing the rounds on some of the League Two fan forums that. They were trying to offload half the squad on transfer deadline day. So I'm not sure morale will be necessarily really high in their camp, and maybe that explains their recent results. So I'd fancy us to get a result on Saturday. I think we'll win. Let's hope so.
Trev, go along with that? Hopeful for Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I watched their managers a bored person I am. I watched their manager's interview after the game yesterday, and it should have a warning: suicidal. he was livid.
This isn't you watching the quote. This isn't your cry for help. This you're talking about the Crawley managers.
Yeah, the Crawley managers. Yeah, cry for help. They were. He was livid. He said they had no passion. They didn't want to win the game. He slaughtered his team. He threw them under the bus. The complete team. So how he's going to lift them lads this week, I have no idea. Because if that was my manager and he spoke like that, I'd think, is he the right man for the job? I know he's questioning their ability and they don't want to win and they pass it sideways and whatever. And I'm thinking, that'll work two ways. They'll have them boiling up when they come to us, or they'll be sat in the dressing room before the game thinking, here's another defeat. And I hope it's the latter.
Crawley way to make was the first time I started to believe that this was going to be the season. To be down and come back, Tabino just ran the game completely, and that's the first time I believed. I don't think Crawley are a good team now. They started well, but I believe the manager's done a Trojini-esque on them and really threw them under the bus. So I think that they are there for the taking, and I expect a comfortable win.
Lovely. Okay, let's finish this chat then when we're all feeling positive. What is that comfortable win going to be, Graham?
3-0 to Crew.
Wow. Trevor?
Exactly the same, 3-0.
And Tim?
Yeah, clean sweep, 3-0.
All right, fair play. I spoke to Dan to see what had changed at Crawley since the game in October. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on again.
Not a problem. I think the best place to start is in October, the game at your place. It started off quite well from the Crawley perspective, 1-0 and then 2-1 up. What were your thoughts on the game when it had finished?
From memory, quite a good game of good football, actually. I thought both teams played football in the right way, or what we all hope is the right way. A lot of chances created by both teams. Just, I think, frustration from our point of view that it was probably, from memory, another game that we had quite a lot of chances but didn't take enough of them and were just sloppy at the back. And ultimately, that's cost us quite a few times this season. From memory, I thought you guys were a very, very exciting team to watch and played some good football as well. So, yeah, it was one of the more entertaining games I think I've seen this season.
Since then, I put out a tweet after that game that said that's probably going to be an underrated win. You know, I think a lot of people, same as Crewe, underestimate Crawley. What's happened since then with you guys?
To be honest, from last season, it's been a complete breath of fresh air this season, if I'm honest with you. We've had some fantastic results. We've played some really, really good football. We've got some results as well that you wouldn't expect Crawley to be getting. We won 4-2 away at Bradford. That was a great result. we've been playing some fantastic football, and I think where we are in the table at the moment, which I think after yesterday's defeat has dropped us down to sort of mid-table, I actually think we have been a little bit better than that this season. I think we've been pushing playoffs for quite a large majority of it. We've been sort of getting there or thereabouts and getting a poor result, which has sort of knocked us back a little bit. We've always been just sort of that one step we can't seem to make to get into the playoffs, but we've been playing really well. Even in some of the defeats, we've played really well. And there has been, obviously, as you know, it happens every season, there's always quite a handful of poor performances. But on the whole, it's been a fantastic season for us. And long may that continue, to be honest.
Obviously, January has just happened. Was there much in, much out at Crawley?
No, if I'm honest with you, it's quite a disappointing January, I think. I think when the transfer window opened, we were not far off the playoffs at all. I think 3 points, maybe 2 or 3 points at the time around that area. And you think, right, you've got to a position now where if you strengthen, you can have a real go at it towards the end of the season. But it hasn't been the case. I suppose on one hand, we haven't really lost any of our main players, if you like. We haven't lost any of the people that you'd really call strong first team players. We had a couple of loanees come in, I think one from West Ham, one from Charlton, who didn't really do anything, to be honest with you. They were brought in obviously to fill a gap and be a good squad player, come in and stand up when needed, but they haven't really sort of got going. So they got sent back, both of them. And what did we do? We brought in two players, one of which has played had a very random career. He's come over from America. Quite a lot of people were actually thinking it's probably one of the owner's friends, or he's won a competition to come over. But that's, I suppose, a little bit unfair on him because we haven't seen him play. But his Wikipedia page is something all of us are a bit just confused by, really. So he's come in, and we also got a youngster in that's been from Huddersfield, who's a defender who really we wanted to see some sort of movement in way of bringing some attackers in. We've only really got one out-and-out striker, which is Danilo Orsi, who came from Grimsby in the summer. He's been fantastic for us this season, works his socks off. But for me, he's not a number nine, if you like. We sort of need that fox-in-the-box type striker to get them sort of, you know, them little nitty-gritty goals, you know, that just... You know, just like I said, fox in the box, we haven't really got that. So very disappointed not to get that in. So it sort of leaves us to sort of question the owner's ambition, really. You know, you're just a little bit off the playoffs, and you think one or two strong attackers, which admittedly is hard to find at this time of year. You know, you're never going to find an out-and-out goal scorer in January. But it's just, yeah, I'm not very happy with the window, if I'm honest with you. But like I said, we didn't lose anybody. So I guess in a way that is the main thing.
Danilo Orsi, it looks to me, as an outsider looking in, he's the main threat. I think he's 15 goals already this season. Is that the case, or is there someone else that Crew fans should be looking out for?
Yes, I think, to be honest with you, yeah, I think a few of them have been penalties, but he has done well for us this season. He's a handful up front. He works his socks off, like he's non-stop running, and he really, really, really works hard for the team, which is great. I think in terms of people to watch out for, I'd probably say we've got, you can't miss him because he's about 5 foot tall, Liam Kelly in the midfield. He came from Rochdale in the summer. And as you do, you sort of look on social media and see people's thoughts about when players move. And he didn't really have any good reviews about him. He's probably been our player of the season, if I'm honest. He is superb in the middle of midfield. Picks up the ball, he wins challenges, he's got a great pass on him. He chips in with the odd goal here and there, so I think he's one to watch. And probably Nick Cerulla. He started the season on fire. I think he scored 4 or 5 goals in the first sort of, I think, 8 or 9 games, something like that. He normally plays as a left wing back or left midfielder, cuts inside, very sort of tricky, and he's very good with his feet. So I'd definitely say them three I'd look out for, yeah.
Okay, last couple of questions for you then, Dan. How's the season going to finish for Crawley? As you say, mid-table at the moment, is it going to be up, down, or is it somewhere in the middle? And what's the score going to be on Saturday?
In terms of how the rest of the season is going to go, to be honest with you, I think if you asked me that at Christmas before January, I'd like to have thought we'd give it a go for the playoffs. But I've kind of got this suspicion now that with the poor window that we've had We've got a couple of injuries as well. Our captain's out, and we seem to pick up these little niggles here and there, which keeps players out for 3 to 4 weeks. But I think if we can keep everybody fit, I don't see why. I think we could give it a go for a while, but I've got a sort of a suspicion that it will probably peter out into a mid-table finish. And to be honest with you, after last season with the relegation battle that we had, and just the whole, the club was basically a circus on and off the pitch, to be honest with you. I think this season, if we can just have a solid mid-table finish, that's what's needed, and hopefully we can achieve that. But also, as well, along the way, pick up some good results. So hopefully, you know, a nice sort of worry-free end to the season. And in terms of Saturday, yeah, look, I'm not expecting too much. You guys have had a fantastic couple of months. Although, obviously, I think you drew yesterday and lost your previous game. But on the whole, you've been fantastic. And away from home, our form has picked up. I think before our win at, was it Colchester? I think we'd only won one in months, basically. And we won two away or home, all away from home last season. So, but it has picked up, but I'm not expecting much. I'd like to think we can sneak a point and, you know, potentially something like a 2-2 draw maybe. But I think you guys are going to have, everybody's going to be excited about Charlie Kirk coming back, and the atmosphere in the stadium will be quite good. So that will definitely play a part. I'd like to think 2-2, but I think realistically we're probably looking a defeat, unfortunately, but we can see. Football's a funny old game, isn't it?
Dan, thank you so much for your time.
No worries, thank you.
Okay, Tim, to finish off then this week, I just want to ask you how Last Man Standing is going.
We're in round three now. We started with 96 players, I believe. We had 60 out in the first round, 30 out in the second round, which leaves 4 players going into round three to win a pot of £437.50. So good luck to the remaining 4.
Another rollover, sure. Tim.
Yeah, another rollover.
Yeah.
Could well be.
Okay, I think that will do us for this week then. Tim, Trev and Graham, thank you for coming on today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, as ever, for listening. We'll be back next Monday to go over that Crawley game. Until then, goodbye. Bomb, dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon.